Welcome to the New Vic Theatre and this audio introduction to Season's Greetings, written and directed by Alan Ayckbourn. It was first shown in 1980 at the Stephen Joseph Theatre in Scarborough, and almost 50 years later shown there again last month. I'm Judy Tyndall, and I'll be audio describing the play on Thursday the 24th of October at 2:15 p.m. The touch tour will start promptly at 12:45 p.m. The play lasts for about 2.5 hours, including an interval of 20 minutes. It's about three married couples and another man and woman who are not sure if they are a couple, and an elderly uncle. Children are referred to, sometimes heard but never seen. There are five scenes, three in Act 1 and two in Act 2 after the interval. They all take place around Christmas, from Christmas Eve to the day after Boxing Day in 1979. I'll be describing the theatre, the set and the props, then the characters and costumes. The New Vic is a theatre in the round. Tiered seats rise all around a circular stage, which has three evenly spaced entrances. Thinking of a clock face, the main entrance at 12 o'clock is used only by actors, and the entrances at 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock by both actors and audience. For this play, there is an almost square, slightly raised stage within the round stage, which is set as the ground floor of a large house belonging to Neville and Belinda Bunker. The rooms are separated by two walls, only knee-high and wavy at the top. The longest wall goes all the way across the square stage from opposite 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock. The shorter wall is half as long, from the centre towards the entrance at 12 o'clock. This divides the stage into three rooms. The largest is the hall, between the 4 o'clock entrance, which becomes the front door, and the 8 o'clock entrance, which becomes the passage to the kitchen and the back door. The other two smaller rooms have doorways from the hall on opposite sides of the centre. The one to the sitting room is on the 3 o'clock side. The one to the dining room is on the 9 o'clock side. There are no doors as such, just spaces in the wavy walls. The aisle at 6 o'clock through the audience becomes the staircase from the hall to the imaginary bedrooms, and is well used during the play, especially at the end. Most of the furniture in each room is made from wood. I'll describe each room in turn. The hall has a parquet floor. There is a large Christmas tree, 8 or 9 feet high, standing in a large tub near the 4 o'clock entrance on the 5 o'clock side. The tree has fairy lights around it, but has not yet been fully decorated. Around the base are a large number of presents, brightly wrapped and labelled. There is a coat and umbrella stand between the tree and the 4 o'clock entrance, and a round walking stick holder on the 3 o'clock side of the entrance. I'm now going round the hall anti-clockwise. A knee-high cupboard with a telephone and a lamp on top of it is at the side of the hall between the stick holder and a large leaf plant in a tub at 3 o'clock. And in the centre of the long wall, between the two doors, is a low bench with a cushion on top, long enough for two people. A semicircular three-legged side table is further along from the bench, nearer to 9 o'clock. And there is an upright chair near the kitchen passage. In the centre of the sitting room is a large single armchair that faces away from the hall doorway towards an unseen fireplace and an unseen TV set at 12 o'clock. There is a G-plan side table next to the armchair and a knee-high window seat with a cupboard underneath at the side between 2 and 3 o'clock. There is a bowl of children's sweets on the top and games tucked away inside. The carpet is a curvy pattern in red and purple. The G-plan dining room has a sideboard against the hall wall by the door. It contains bottles of wine, etc., besides everything for setting the table. There are various things on the top, including an ice tub and bowls of nibbles. The rectangular table is in the centre of the room with five chairs around it. The carpet in this room has a pattern in shades of green. After the interval, there is a puppet theatre set up in the 1 o'clock corner of the sitting room, along with lots of puppets hanging from a rack about 4 foot long next to the wall on the hall side, and several boards of background scenery leaning against the window seat. The armchair is now facing the theatre. I'll move on now to characters and costumes. The married couples are Belinda and Neville, Bernard and Phyllis, Eddie and Patty, the unsure couple are Rachel and Clive, and last but not least is Harvey. The men are all dressed in a similar way, in trousers, mostly dark shades of brown, shirts, mostly white, jumpers or pullovers in dark shades of blue or green. Harvey wears a tie. All have leather shoes in shades of brown or black. The women wear knee-length dresses or skirts, sometimes slacks, in a lighter and brighter colours than the men, and sometimes with patterns. Their hair is often long, sometimes coiled up, and they wear makeup. Harvey Bunker is in his 60s, Neville's uncle and a TV addict. He's on stage at the start, in the armchair, watching TV in the sitting room, wearing a dark sage green cardigan. He's got grey hair, but later stands tall and straight with a slightly military air. Harvey is played by Bill Champion. Bernard, or Dr. Longstaff, is in his 40s but seems older. He wears a dark blue zip-up cardigan and he has a foreign accent. He often calls to his wife Phyllis, who is in the kitchen at the start. He seems unsure of himself, rather hesitant. Bernard is played by Lee Simmons. Belinda is an attractive woman in her early 30s. She is married to Neville, and they have 2 children. She wears a red dress with a low V neckline and flared skirt. She has blonde, shoulder-length hair, part curled up on top, and she has a gold watch and necklace. At the start, she has no shoes on. They are near the phone cupboard, red, pointed with small heels. She is always busy, organising things or at the start decorating the Christmas tree. She moves about quickly and purposefully. Belinda is played by Francis Marshall. Neville is an easygoing man in his late 30s. He has dark brown neat hair, and although his clothes in shades of dark green are similar to the other men's, he looks smarter. His trouser lines are sharper, made of better quality material. He likes mending mechanical things and trying out new gadgets. He is very pleased with his remote control for the tree lights and his hidden cassette recorder under the tree. He is friendly with Eddie, who used to work for him. Neville is played by Matt Addis. Eddie, also in his 30s, is less successful, less at ease than Neville, whom he obviously admires, or at least requires. He has black, tightly curled hair. His trousers have flares at the bottom. Near the end of the play, he wears a very large, brightly coloured jumper with a geometric pattern in white, red, green and black. Maybe a Christmas present. He is married to Patty, but does not show much interest in her or their children. Eddie is played by Michael Lyle. Patty is also about 30 and has short black wavy hair. She is noticeably 7 months pregnant and has 3 other children, 2 girls and Gary, about 6 years old. She moves slowly and wears a white long-sleeved top under a maternity dress. She has black leggings and flat shoes or slippers. Later on, Patty comes in from the kitchen wearing a brown beige check coat, hat, scarf, gloves and boots. She moves slowly and seems fed up most of the time. Patty is played by Mercy Ojeda. Phyllis is Bernard's wife, Neville's sister and Harvey's niece. She is in her late 30s, likes cooking and drinking, or playing board games and drinking. We hear her calling now and then from the kitchen before she totters in when the meal is ready at last. She is slim, rather petite, even in heeled shoes. She has short, blonde, wavy hair and is wearing a close-fitting, knee-length dress with a pattern of pink and lemon. Phyllis is played by Eileen Batty. Rachel is 38, a little older than her sister Belinda and less conventionally pretty. She arrives wearing a white beret and a green-grey patterned coat. This is over a close-fitting beige jumper, a straight skirt with a criss-cross pattern in shades of brown, and knee-length brown leather boots. She has blonde hair, almost waist-length, loosely tied at the back of her neck. Later on, she curls it up on top of her head. She is perhaps more than friends with Clive, a writer, who is also due to arrive. Rachel is played by Rachel Caffrey. Clive is in his late 20s. He has a shy, pleasant manner. He arrives wearing a dark overcoat and holding a small suitcase. He has brown short hair and wears a grey jacket, a pullover, white shirt, dark red trousers and brown shoes. He is apologetic right from the start and almost all the time. However hard he tries to say and do the right thing. Clive is played by Andy Cryer. There are two scene changes in Act 1 and one in Act 2, when the stage is almost blacked out and music plays. I will be describing the changes, so don't switch your headsets off. There is also a change during the interval itself, which I will describe just before the start of Act 2. During most of the scenes, I do not have time to say much without talking over the actors, so I might not be able to tell you all the time just which room they're in or who they're speaking to or looking at, but I think you will be able to work it out from what is said by the actors. That's the end of the description. Please listen on for the credits. The designer is Kevin Jenkins and the lighting designer is Jason Taylor. The sound designer is Alan Akeborn and casting director is Sarah Hughes. The company stage manager is Fleur Hill-Bealy and the deputy stage manager is Sarah Rhodes Cannings. Season's Greetings was written and directed by Alan Akeborn.